This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, thank you, Billy Donovan, Jeff Dickerson, and Harry Douglas from the Falcons broadcast team, former wide receiver.
Love Harry Douglas.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you for listening. Hoodie and I will be back. I will be off on Monday. Jewish holidays?
Yom Kippur.
Happy holiday, my friend.
Thank you.
Happy holiday.
I saw the jazz singer.
And...
Wow. Which one? Miles Davis? Who are you talking about?
Bird Parker.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yurko doesn't have any headphones on yet.
He can't, right. he can't hear you yet.
No, shocking.
Anyway, I'll be back on Tuesday. Hoodie will be here on Monday.
With Brian Hanley.
And then Tuesday, we'll do the show, and then
Take
a short walk home.
The walk of fame. The short walk. What, do you get home about 9 o'clock? No,
something like that.
8 o'clock? Yeah.
Berniesbookbank.org.
Yeah, I got to make a donation there.
Or
right?
We go donate to obviousshirts.com, and they have a collectible shirt, and all the money goes to the book bank.
Oh, all right.
So, obviousshirts.com.
Get a little something out of it.
.com. There you go.
Donate, and you get a T-shirt.
There you go.
Take it.
So, we would appreciate that. We're trying to raise as much as we can, so we'll see where we go.
Good. Yeah.
Anyway, how are you today,
John and Yurko?
It's
a football Friday with some baseball sprinkled in. Hoodie and I don't know what to do with our manager.
I know.
I take that back. I think we know exactly what to do.
I get 79th and Green. I got to drop him off.
I got a bus ticket for him, Hoodie.
I got some places where he can go.
Nice guy, you know, but geez, Lord.
Hey, you know what? You know what? If the Cubs can change their manager knowing that they're ready to go and they get Madden, if Illinois basketball can say, no more gross, you know, no more of that guy, let's bring in Underwood. If the Hawks can say, I love you, Dennis Savard, but we've got to be able to upgrade, then why can't the White Sox?
Yeah, hopefully,
Sox, the same thing.
Hopefully they will. Let's hope they get to a point here and they realize, yeah, you know, nice guy, but in Glengarry Glen Ross, bleep you, go home and play with your kids. You know, like a nice guy, good, you know.
Cubs pulled the plug and
exactly,
said, we owe you money. In fact, here's an extra $500,000 because we're screwing you over. See ya. You're in.
Sorry. It's just kind of the way it is, you know. Go out balling in Glengarry Glen Ross.
There you go.
Bleep you, go home and play with your kids.
Did you see the Bears got a big deal done today?
The Bears did with who?
That would be with PointsBet.
Oh, that's our guys.
The official group, you and I both endorse them.
Yes.
PointsBet has signed with the Chicago Bears.
Big time, man.
So that's a huge sponsorship deal for the Bears and for PointsBet.
Yeah, when they build the new stadium on the site that is currently Arlington Racetrack, there'll be a big PointsBet's casino, I would imagine, attached to it.
It may be PointsBet Stadium.
Maybe it will be. That's going to be the new stadium. Yes.
I had
friends.
Call them the PointsBet Bears.
Over some bourbon and a cigar. Around a fire last Saturday night, some of the guys in the neighborhood irate that the Bears would ever possibly move. I said, what are you irate for? The Giants and the Jets play in the Meadow. They play in New Jersey, for crying out loud.
Yeah, what do you care?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
And I got news for you. It's a lot easier living in the suburbs to get to Arlington Heights than it is to Soldier Field. I said, why would you care?
The Dolphins don't play in Miami proper. They play up in Davie.
They're not moving to Racine. I mean, you're not moving to Zion. I mean, I guess I kind of get it. But, I mean, Arlington Heights, it's 30 miles from
Soldier
Field.
By the airport,
Field.
For heaven's sake.
Why would you get upset about it?
You got a casino out there, kid.
It's what I mean.
Can you imagine
when COVID's done and there's a big casino, Hoodie, we could go play blackjack and then walk over in a tunnel or in a pedestrian bridge so you don't even have to go outside? To the brand new domed stadium in Arlington Heights? What's wrong with that?
Where it's comfortable?
I don't understand.
Would teams still stay in the city or would they stay out in the northern suburbs?
Why would they stay in the city?
Stay up in the burbs.
What do you mean, why would they stay in the city?
Silliness. Silliness.
It's not like they're going to go run the streets, Merc. They're here for business.
The Patriots play 40 miles from downtown
Boston.
They got
no restaurants in Arlington Heights? What's going on here?
I like the idea of modern amenities, though.
Right?
Because you got everything out there. It's spacious.
Yes.
I love the idea of that because, listen, when they were refurbishing the old Soldier Field, it should have had a dome over it. Maybe this one would have a dome on it.
Oh, I would think it would, Hoodie, because then they get a Super Bowl, then they get Final Fours, right? They control all their own revenue in their stadium.
You better be careful, though.
The Bears go from $3 billion, worth $3 billion right. to worth $4 billion.
But there's one area of concern. The Arlington Heights Historical Society may come out and say that you may not be able to build.
You got
to
put the colonnades. You can build a new stadium, but it needs colonnades.
You
got
to put something silly on
Bring
there.
Bring those colonnades up.
Can you imagine?
Yurko playing the role of Bruce Dumont with the politics of it all.
Yes, he is.
Well, yeah, you've got to recognize that. It's the state of Illinois. Politics are always involved.
You got to get with the program, people.
Like, not only politics, but seven layers of politics.
I know.
Because there's so much damn duplicity in this state.
But like Hoodie said, you're talking about modern amenities. You're talking about a casino that will be next door. Where you never, you know, you walk into the building then afterwards and you watch the game and it's climate controlled and you get a Super Bowl.
Having
and,
I mean, the boat slip on the Burnham Harbor doesn't matter that much anymore to go to Soldier Field.
This is it, folks. This is the future. I mean, you got to get with it. And, you know, to say, come on. Oh, they can't play in Arlington Heights? Sure they can.
Absolutely.
If they've got a world-class facility.
You remember the first mayor? You're probably too young.
First mayor.
Which one? Mayor
William B. Ogden.
Daley?
William B. Ogden was the first mayor of Chicago.
Daley, I said.
Oh, okay.
Richard J. Daley came out when there was rumors they were going to move to the suburbs. He goes, that's right. You move out of Chicago, you cannot call them the Chicago Bears. You'll be the Illinois Bears.
Well, that's silliness. Yeah,
that's past silliness.
Yeah. He's long gone.
Well, he is. That guy was a real skull cracker.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Old boss.
I remember.
Yeah, that ain't.
Boss.
Know, they'll be the Chicago Bears. Just like they're the New York Jets and the New York Giants, they play in New Jersey. I got news for you.
Listen, there's a lot of land inexpensive in beautiful Northwest Indiana.
Wow.
If things don't go well in Arlington, you can still put them on the lake.
Slow your roll, kid.
What do you mean slow my roll?
I'm just busting your chest.
I know you are, but my point is there's a lot of inexpensive land there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'd be a city down there, a municipality, be happy to give the NFL and the Bears that land
probably,
for free, as long as they're allowed to develop everything else around there. How about that?
I'm all for it. I'm totally all for it. I know that the old people that Cap used to talk to on WGN would love it.
No, probably not.
I can't believe they'd leave the city. It's been a tradition for so long.
Don't worry about it. It's time for something
Carbon
new and fresh.
Carbon paints a great picture to park your car. You leave your coat in there. You're indoors.
Yes. You're in a casino before the game.
Get a meal. Make a bet.
Right. We're playing blackjack, and then we go into the stadium. I mean, come on. Think about the 3:15 games.
Yeah.
You're gambling, and you're watching all the games while you're at a blackjack table or at a dice table, or you're doing what you do, and then you go into the stadium.
Right.
Afterwards,
you watch the game. Are you just happy to see me? It's the money I won playing blackjack.
You're right. You watch the Bears beat the Packers.
You're selling your tickets at the blackjack table trying to recoup.
Whatever works for you. You go and watch the Bears beat the Vikings inside at 3:15. Can you imagine?
This is a question that was asked of me one time. Would the Jacksonville Jaguars be able to move to Chicago and become an AFC team?
Two teams in Illinois.
Two teams in the state of Illinois. Two teams in Chicago.
Saad Khan's from Illinois, right?
Where would the Jags play? Same facility, or downstate?
No. If they build in Arlington, then they can take over Soldier.
What if? Oh yeah. Well, but he'd never do that. Saad's not going to take. He's not going to go into a stadium.
Saad can move to Northwest Indiana.
That he doesn't own.
Yeah, sure, he could call himself the Chicago Jaguars.
What about moving downstate closer to St. Louis to get the St. Louis market that doesn't have a
what
football?
Market?
That's
what
true.
Market?
No football team. Hoodie's right.
What
though.
Is St. Louis? The 72nd market?
No,
they have less people down there than Green Bay does. For heaven's sake,
they're not the 72nd market. You're crazy.
What
they're
do you not have? The 72nd market.
Yeah, they're not the 72nd market, but they're not top 10.
No, but they're probably top 25.
I'd rather have half of. I'd rather have half of three than all of number 30.
But it's true. I mean,
you talk about casinos down there. I mean, there's casinos. You get the St. Louis market. You get
42nd
from Peoria.
42nd. Wow.
Yeah.
Lower than I thought.
42nd. Come on.
That's not a very big market.
Peoria is bigger than them. Naperville might be bigger than them.
Not on TV or radio. They're not the.
They're not 42.
42. That's
what JR just said. JR said he looked it up. 42nd media market.
That's what it said. I can do a little
St.
Mark.
Louis,
more digging if you'd like.
St. Louis is 23.
Boy, that's a big disparity. What are you guys here? Where are you getting your list, JR?
I thought you were talking about Jacksonville.
I thought you said you're all right, Spider.
He had Jayville at
number 42, guys.
I thought. You're stuttering, mumbling.
So St. Louis is 23.
Dance the drink over here, JR.
I'd still rather have half of 3 or 40% of 3 than I'd want all of 23.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I thought you said I was all right, Spider.
23rd makes a little more sense.
Okay, there. Right. I thought you said I was okay.
See, so he'd be going up. Saad Khan would be moving up in the world.
Hey, here's the thing, though. I don't think Saad wants to move the team anywhere. I think he wants to give it a European presence.
Yeah.
If you saw the expansion they have down there for the slips in the St. John River and all the stuff they've got planned for down there.
What, in Jayville?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It looks fantastic. It's fantastic. The problem is nobody goes downtown and nobody stays downtown.
But, and, like, Jacksonville's way
except
spread out, right? I mean, it's you're all over the place.
Landmass-wise, it's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
What, can you name the top 6 markets?
New York
is 1.
L.A.
2.
Boston.
Chicago. Chicago's 3.
Boston.
No.
Dallas.
Houston. Houston.
Dallas, Fort Worth, Philly. No.
Dallas is 5. Philly is 4.
Philly, Dallas.
Bay Area.
Houston. San Francisco, San Jose is 6.
Houston.
Houston. D.C. 7. DC Houston 8. DC. Boston 9. Atlanta 10.
There you go. There's your top 10.
What did we miss? What was 5?
I think Dallas.
Dallas,
Fort
Worth.
Dallas, Fort Worth. Okay.
5, yeah.
I think St. Louis, they did not have support for it, obviously toward the end, but they're dying to have football back there.
I would think so. Everybody wants a football team. I mean, come on.
Or put it in Montreal.
The printing press of money, too.
Yeah, of course. Yes, that's it is.
I just want to go to the casino and then walk over indoors with no coat on.
The Points Bet Casino at Points Bet Stadium where the Chicago Bears play.
Be amazing.
Hey, Cap, that's the key right there, right? No coat.
No coat. No coat. No coat. Leave the coat in the car.
Can I bring my Crown Royal in?
The
best. He wants to know.
That's the best, yes. Man.
Yeah, so I'll put that in my sock.
No, you'll be able to purchase that for $74 a drink.
We'll sneak a flask in. Yurko once snuck an entire bottle in.
That's right.
I watched John Yurkovich sneak an entire bottle of Crown Royal into the United Center in his pants.
That's right.
They didn't think anything was wrong with it. They know the legend of Yurko.
They looked down there and they said, well, that's normal.
Look at that bulge. That's normal. Entire bottle of Crown Royal.
I still remember us going to that game, the Bulls and the Sixers. He's in a Jacksonville jacket, and I tweet,
Tony Baselli.
Great to see Tony Baselli here at the game with us.
That was
and
funny.
He retweets it, doesn't even follow me. People start tweeting at him. Dude, you're at the Bulls game? That's Yurkovich.
That was funny.
So great. Then he called in.
Much more handsome than Baselli.
Yes.
That's true.
So, anyway.
All right, boys.
All right, we're out of here.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend.
See you Monday.
Odds Couple coming up tonight as
well. Yes, 7 o'clock.
All right.
Have a great holiday, Cap.
Yeah.
Thank
have a good
you,
holiday.
Hoodie.
See you next week.
Say a prayer for you.
See you, Hoodie.
Love you. Have a great weekend. The Hoodie and Cap and Hoodie show back on Monday, 7 a.m. See you. Take that.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Football Friday. Welcome in. It's Carmen and Yurko. Week 3 in the NFL is off and running. And it was an impressive game for the Miami Dolphins and Fitzmagic last night. 31-13, the final there. That was kind of a snoozer. There was a lot of other stuff happening. So I hope you enjoyed your sports night, however you decided to consume all the action. I watched a lot of the NBA game, watched LeBron James guard Jamal Murray late, and the Lakers are on the verge of going to the NBA Finals up 3-1. I don't think LeBron's ever blown a 3-1 series lead, and I know Jokic and Murray and the Nuggets have done it twice already. To do it a third time in a postseason?
This is where they're comfortable.
Seems impossible. I guess it's where they're comfortable.
Your back's up against the wall.
But it seems almost impossible that they're going to be able to rattle off 3 straight wins against LeBron and AD and the Lakers. And then you have Jimmy Butler and the Heat, who can punch its ticket to the finals tonight, Yurko. They're an underdog again. The Celtics are a 3-point favorite in Game 5 tonight. So literally we have so much happening. It's incredible, not to mention all the baseball. And we've got football, baseball, some gambling for you today at 11:30. We're going to talk to our buddy Todd Furman. We are so happy to have Todd Furman back with us.
Welcome aboard, Todd. Give us
the Vegas perspective each and every Friday. Mike North has his bonus play at 11:45. So it's going to be a fun, action-packed day, plus Chuck Garfine. I don't know what you're looking at there You're trying to concoct your
13-team
parlay.
I'm going to get it there. They got one game on here that's being played Thursday night next week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cross that game off because it's not for this weekend.
I would, yeah. Yurko's asking me about the Denver-Jets matchup. And I said, Yurk, Denver's playing the Bucks this week. I don't know what you're looking at. He said, no, look, right here, Carm, Denver and the Jets.
Carm, the Raiders are playing somebody?
They're playing the Patriots this weekend.
Okay, I've got to put that in because that game is only halfway on here. So let me put New England on here.
Where are you getting your...
Well, you know, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead, just take a shot.
Go ahead, feel free.
Go ahead, take a shot at Mark.
This thing's been checked and double-checked. And now Dallas does have a game.
Dallas has played
this weekend. At the bottom of the sheet here.
They don't have an opponent?
It just says Dallas and nothing else.
They're playing in Seattle, Yurko. Yeah.
Seattle. Okay, in Seattle?
They're playing in Seattle. They're a five-point underdog in Seattle.
Okay, I'm going to put my... Is there an over-under on that?
Of course, there's an over-under on everything, Yurko.
Guys, it's not too early to think about what you're going to do for the weekend. Matter of fact, I would tell people early on, Carm, early on, to just take an initial look... Put down some initial feelings that you have. I always say think long, think wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get an initial feeling. Put that down there and then come back to it. Take a second look to see if maybe you haven't overlooked something or gone crazy. So that's what I like to do. The over-under in that Seattle-Dallas
game. If I'm not mistaken, that's the highest total on the board in week three, 56.5. I think there's four or five games with totals over 50.
Well, they've been behind. Vegas has been behind, Carm, in the land of the over.
We're not talking about Vegas. We're talking about I see what you're saying. I thought you meant the Raiders.
No, not the Raiders anymore. We've got to talk. See, when we're talking Vegas now, we got to talk about gambling Vegas.
I got you.
So we might have to come up with another term for that.
I know, I'm going
to
think Raiders.
Or we just have to say the Raiders, and that's it.
Well, I told you this yesterday.
I'm excited. I'll have a 13-pack by the end of the game as soon as I put the full roster of activities down, overs and unders, and the whole ball away.
I told you this yesterday. Games through the first 2 weeks were 20-12 to the over. Now, last night was an under. It looked like it was destined for another over with the first half.
This field goal, Carm?
But then in the – no, it was more than that. In the second half – there were only, 13 points scored or 16 points scored in the second half? So that game did go under. So far through 33 games, you're talking about 20-13 to the over. Games have averaged going into the week, so this does not factor last night's total, 50.3 points per game and nearly 745 yards per game. Those are the highest averages through 2 weeks in the National Football League since the merger, which was 50 years ago. So... the early data says lots of offense, lots of points, lots of yards, and defenses that might not have that home crowd to sort of fall back on or lean on when they need a little extra something late in games or at key moments in games.
You're 100% correct. 16 points scored in the second half.
Yeah, 16 points. So that game was
7 in the third, 9 in the fourth, and then that game finished under by how much, Carm?
5 points, I want to say.
5 points.
Yeah, I think the total was 49, give or take, right around there.
All right, let me take a look at the field goal kickers here, see what we had. Oh, boy, kicking. Well, there's 0-0, 1-1.
So there you go.
That's what you had.
The Bears are looking for their first 3-0 start since 2013, ladies and gentlemen. That was the first year under Mark Trestman. What a disaster that guy was. They still finished 8-8 that year, despite starting 3-0.
They found a way to be mediocre.
The Bears found a way to be very mediocre. They were just 8-8 that year, and they missed the playoffs.
And then the next year was catastrophic.
5-11 and extremely catastrophic. 50 burgers, remember, to the Patriots and the Packers. One of them was coming out of a bye. That Packer game was a rivalry game coming out of a bye. That's when... the you-know-what really hit the fan, and they decided to can Mark Trestman after just 2 years. So the Bears haven't been 3-0 since 2013. This will be their first game in the new stadium in Atlanta. Last time they were there in 2014, they did win. And this is a much better spot for the Bears every time they're taking points. When they're laying them, not so good. Even though they got off to that quick start last week and led 17-0, they did not cover. The late field goal miss didn't help. Bears are just 12-19 against the spread as a favorite since 15. But under Nagy, they are 6-5 against the number when they take points.
How do they handle Julio? How do they handle Ridley?
Good question.
I think this is the best, healthiest group of receivers they face.
Well, you know, let me jump in here real quickly.
Julio was banged up last week in the Dallas game.
Ian Rappaport this morning just said it's very much up in the air whether or not Julio's
going to practice.
He's not practicing.
Julio's 50-50. If he plays, Yurko, you're right. This will be the best collection of receivers they've played so far. Calvin Ridley has looked fantastic. And if you go back and watch Calvin Ridley's first touchdown last week in Atlanta, in Dallas, when they got out to that big lead, it was a thing of beauty. I mean, it's hands, it's balance, it's athleticism, it's feet, all of it, Yurk. I mean, it was just a very he is impressive. I wish Riley could get on the field here.
Yeah, I wish
but
he could.
Calvin Ridley
get
is
the less
impressive.
Talented Riley brother. I mean, what's going on?
Well, but they knew that.
Ridley.
Too, where they were drafting Riley Ridley.
Fourth round?
Riley was a fifth round. I'm trying to remember now. Where was Riley Ridley picked? Was it fifth round, maybe? Something like that. It was later, for sure. And unfortunately, he can't get on the field right now for the Bears. But yes, you're right, Yurk. This is an explosive offense. This is a Falcons team that has already racked up 886 yards and 64 points in the first 2 weeks. They're 0-2. They've got those types of offensive numbers, and they're 0-2. They've allowed, going into the week, not counting last night's action, they've allowed 7 more points than any team in the NFL through the first 2 weeks. They've allowed 78. They've given up the second most yards. Only Seattle has allowed more. They've given up 953. And so for all that Matt Ryan and the offense has accomplished, and they haven't even gotten a ton out of Todd Gurley yet, and who knows, maybe they won't because Gurley's past his prime and is broken down. They've moved the ball. They've scored points. Their defense hasn't been able to get the job done, and their special teams made one of the all-time bonehead plays that you're ever going to see last week.
Yeah.
As simple as that. And now you really got to think that they are playing for Dan Quinn's job. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think it's an overreaction. I really don't. We talked about this earlier in the week. You don't see coaches fired this early in the NFL a whole heck of a lot. Yurko found an example a few years ago when Lane Kiffin got the axe. After just four games. You don't see it. I get it. You don't see it a whole heck of a lot. But Dan Quinn's last two seasons, 7-9, 7-9. And I know Arthur Blank expects more with that quarterback and what they've invested in that team. They've missed the playoffs the last 2 years, and look at the way they've started this year, especially the debacle in Dallas last week. And it might not be far-fetched to say that the Atlanta Falcons are playing for Dan Quinn's job right now.
To 0-2, you go 0-3, you basically start sealing the fate. Now you start looking at the draft, you start looking at next year, you almost start looking forward to college football getting back into action and going to check the SEC out and see what's happening with the LSU and with Georgia. I mean, that's where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, Ridley stepped up and has played his butt off. He's got four touchdowns, you know, 100 yards each in individual game. Hayden Hurst has got himself some catches. Russell Gage is the receiver that's kind of stepped up
the number three.
Number three moves up to number two if your guy ends up not playing.
If Julio doesn't play.
And you look at this one just simply from it. What are you going to do? Bears defense, what do you do? I still think this is the toughest test for the Bears defensive backs.
I would agree.
Quentin Cephas coming at you.
Kenny Golladay didn't play in week one.
He didn't play.
There is no doubt that, like, this is Jalen Johnson's going to be in for it, right? Like, I mean, and maybe he does quite well. He had a good game last week. He's just a rookie. Like, this is, you're right, Yurk. This is by far going to be the most dangerous attack that they have faced.
And the tight end in the first game had himself some success until they quit going to him.
Yes.
You know, Hockenson had 5 targets, 5 catches.
Yeah.
And he had his catch. He had a touchdown catch early in the second half. Maybe it was the first drive of the second half.
I think it was the first drive of the second half.
They didn't throw the ball to him the rest of the day.
I know.
And he was the one that was killing you.
Yeah, Yurk is right. This, you know, especially because Golladay didn't play in the opener. Like, this is going to be, even if Julio doesn't play, like, you've got a pretty good collection of talent that you're going to be going up against. Matt Ryan's got some weapons. And again, that's not been the problem. They've moved the ball. They've scored points. Yurko's got his keys to a Bears victory a little bit later on. We got a loaded show for you. Lots of baseball, football on a football Friday. But this is the last regular season weekend of the year. It's Cubs Sox both limp in. And boy, we have questions about both. And we're going to talk about that when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Okay, I'm going to try to control my anger here a little bit, Yurk. I shouldn't say anger, my frustrations. And boy, did this boil over last night when it was happening in Cleveland. I think White Sox fans, for the most part, are pretty angry. You know, the White Sox are kind of limp into the finish.
Right.
Hopefully they can flip the switch.
Both teams are
limping. Both teams are. I think
now they play each other, so someone's going to look halfway healthy.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to go 2-1. The other team will go 1-2, probably.
But you know what, by the way? The White Sox hit their over. If you bet the White Sox over, you hit it.
Cubs are sitting at...
Cubs need to win the series to hit the over. Boy, and it looked like a lock a week ago, didn't it?
Because you were playing Pittsburgh.
You're playing Pittsburgh.
You're playing Pittsburgh, for heaven's sake.
We'll get to that part. We'll get to the north side. But I think White Sox fans are pretty angry. And I was definitely frustrated last night. And, you know, like Yurko says, only one time can he really remember in his career where a coach put them in a bad spot, right? You used to always tell me that. And you remember the scenario, and the coach apologized.
1993, playing the Miami Dolphins. He put us in a defense where we're going to lose. Every time we were in that defense, I went back and rewatched the game again. It was in Milwaukee County Stadium.
And so Yurko says, and Waddle and the guys who played all the time, you know, even if you played at a reasonably high level, what you really want out of your coach is for them to not put you in positions to fail.
Right.
You know, a coach kind of has to, this is the hard part of being a coach, being a manager. It's not just X's and O's or what the book says. You know, it's putting everything that you know, everything together that you know about the game, all your experiences, and then you combine that with all the data and you start to think, and you've got to process it quickly. It's a hard job. That's why they get paid well. You got to process all this. Let me think about putting my players in the best position to succeed. And there is just no way anybody can say that calling on Carlos Rodon in the seventh inning with the bases loaded yesterday to get out of that jam when the White Sox were protecting a 3-1 lead, that Ricky Renteria put him in the best position to succeed. There's just no way. I can't sit here and say, I can't say to you today, well, a manager has to be able to trust his players to get an out. I can't say that to you here today. Carlos Rodon is a, for the most part, a career starter. Carlos Rodon hasn't appeared in a game out of the bullpen in like 6 years, right? Maybe since his rookie year?
Yeah, they said 2015 was the last time.
He's a starter.
Who's had nothing but injuries, unfortunately, the last couple of years, and hasn't pitched in weeks. And you summon him in a high-leverage situation against a team that has had its way with you on the road with the bases loaded? There's just no way that is putting your guys in the best position to succeed. Why did he not go to Aaron Bummer there? You pitched Aaron Bummer an inning later. That's a job much more suited for Aaron Bummer. Now, if you say, well,
what did Renteria say?
I don't even know. I don't care.
I do know what Renteria. He was saving him for a full inning.
Aaron Bummer?
Yeah.
You want Aaron Bummer for a full inning. He pitched the next inning.
And then he said, put it on me.
He pitched
Renteria
the next inning.
Renteria said, put it on me. I was saving Bummer for a full inning. Does that make sense?
Aaron Bummer hadn't pitched in forever. If you're saving him for a full inning because you want to work him back slowly, why is it different with Carlos Rodon? Why are you not putting your player or your team in the best position to succeed? Is Carlos Rodon your best left-handed hitter there? And I get wanting to flip Cesar Hernandez around. Like, that makes sense. Fine. Cordero gets him in a jam. You want a lefty because you've got back-to-back switch hitters coming up and you want to flip Cesar Hernandez around because the numbers are better from the left side of the plate. Fine. That's your best option, a guy that's not a reliever, a guy that hasn't pitched in months. I don't understand it. The decisions that have been made by Ricky Renteria in the last week are head-scratching and frustrating, and he was not putting his team in the best position to succeed. At least he owned it afterwards, like Yurko said, where he says, okay, put that one on me.
Do you want to hear some of that, Carmen?
If Nick Madrigal, yeah, I do, JR. If Nick Madrigal were like an inch taller,
he makes the catch,
we might not be talking about this.
Here's Renteria on why he brought Rodon
in. Let's hear it.
We're going to find out with two outs. It was going to be an opportunity for him to work the out. Obviously, he didn't get it. He jammed Hernandez. I just got over Sanchi. And he tried to continue to work out of it. Obviously, he wasn't able to in terms of minimizing as much damage as possible. But it was going to be just a shorty. Couldn't put the bomb as we did in the eighth. And both are still being guarded in terms of usage, but it was an opportunity to give him a look in that particular situation with two outs. Came in throwing the ball. It looked like he had good fastball. Everything else looked okay. Like I said, I think he got in on Hernandez and just flared over Santi's head.
I guess what are you? Oh, is that Yolmer? I thought that was Madrigal there. Yolmer was there.
Yolmer. Sanchi.
I thought it was Madrigal. That was Yolmer?
Well, Yolmer started and Yolmer hit the home run to give them the early lead.
That's
that
right.
Game.
Yeah. Yolmer's also like 5'5", though, right? I mean, if they could have just been like an inch taller. Either one of them. How tall is Yolmer? He can't be much taller than Madrigal, is he?
Diminutive. I describe both as like diminutive.
Yeah, he might be a little bit taller. He needed, like one extra inch, you know? I don't get it. I just don't. I mean, what are you going for? Is the division important to you? Did you want to get a win against Cleveland? Like, these are hard decisions that managers have to make. And in his mind, he could be looking for a scenario that is going to creep up in the playoffs where he needs to use Carlos Rodon. And he wants to see how he's going to respond, I guess, in a regular season situation that could carry over into the playoffs. But what's your big goal? What was your main objective yesterday? Was your main objective to see how Carlos Rodon would handle that situation so you have some data on it going into the playoffs? Or was your objective to get a win, try to right the ship after two very frustrating games the two previous nights before we got walked off by the Indians and you want to still contend for the division? Like, what is your main objective? If your main objective going into that game was, we want more than anything a win tonight against Cleveland, Minnesota's idol, and we can pull within a half game. I'm sorry, we could pull even, right? Because Minnesota was off. They would have pulled even with Minnesota. If that was your objective, why does it change in the game, and why are you looking to get Carlos Rodon into that spot? What is it really going to tell you? Is your objective to win last night or not? That's a question that needs to be asked.
It does matter, though. It does matter because it depends who you play in the first round of the playoffs. This matters. These games do matter, you know, for those saying, hey, well, you know, I wanted to give this guy a feeler. He needed some actions. He needed this.
That's what
winning
I mean. You're
these
right.
games matter.
That's what I mean. Did that game matter?
Right.
Did you go into that game thinking this matters tonight? This is important. We got walked out. Jose Abreu was really dejected two nights ago. And is Ricky's mindset, I've got to fix this now. I've got to help these guys fix this. They have to do it, but I have to help them fix it. We got to get a win before we go back home and we finish this regular season against the Cubs. And there's a lot on the line. It's a division game. Minnesota's off. If all of those things are rolling around in his mind before the game, this is an important game that we must win. Why do you deviate from that? Why is it all of a sudden, well, let's see how Rodon responds in this spot? I just don't get it.
Carmen,
I'm sick of seeing Jose Ramirez, right, too, I'll tell you that. I've seen enough of Jose Ramirez.
And it does matter, because if you end up finishing third, then you're playing either the number one or the number two seed.
It all matters right
so
now.
So this is going to matter. So your choices are, do we get to play? If you lose three against the Chicago Cubs and Cleveland wins two games, what you're looking at, and who's playing? Who's Cleveland playing? I just want to make sure they're not playing Minnesota.
I don't know.
Because they might beat up on each other, and you might be okay no matter what.
Let me look real quick here.
Just make sure that's not happening. If that's not, because, I mean, you're either going to play Tampa Bay or you're going to play the Minnesota Twins. That's what it looks like right now.
Tampa's going to be
if
tough.
If you drop
no,
the
Twins
three.
Play the Reds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Twins play the Reds so that you've got to win your games to stay above Cleveland so you can play a team that's not, you know, not one of the best two teams in the American League.
Cleveland's
right now.
Cleveland's rapping against the Pirates, who just beat up on the Cubs a little bit.
You'd have to feel that they've let the best of themselves out already.
Kind of.
And
right?
Can't wait to hit the golf courses themselves.
Yeah.
So it matters for the White Sox.
And the Indians.
It absolutely matters for the White Sox to win games, depending on who you're going to end up playing in that first round and what your path is going to be. The Cubs are ahead 2.5 games. They get one, it's over. St. Louis loses, it's over.
Right. The Indians, after losing 8 consecutive games, have now ripped off 7 wins in their last 8. I mean, think about this. 10 days ago, you know, you wouldn't have thought the Indians would be as much of a threat, but what a run. They took 3 or 4 from the Tigers, and they just swept 4 games from the White Sox. And 2 of them were one-run games, Yurko. 2 of them were walk-off home run games, you know, 5-3, where they walked them off, 3-2, walk-off home run, 5-4, with the rally last night where they had 2 outs in the 7th and they were up 3 runs, and the White Sox couldn't get it done. So it's frustrating to say the least. Hopefully the White Sox can right the ship a little bit this weekend. Luis Robert got the night off last night. Let's see if here's another thing that Sox fans are frustrated with right now with Ricky. Why are you still continuing to put Robert in the seven hole? Again, can you do something as a manager that might help your player succeed? Maybe moving him up for three games this weekend does him some good. Can Ricky make that move that could potentially help one of his players succeed and get him going in the right direction again?
You're looking
He's been
spark
obstinate.
Him.
He hasn't done it.
And
he kept him on the bench last night in the final game of the series. Let's see if that changes. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. And, yeah, we got to spend a little time on the Cubs, too, because they're just as maddening for Cub fans
well,
right now.
They're basically the third seed.
They can't figure out that offense. Yeah. No matter what we try, as we sit here and discuss it, we've attacked this from every single angle possible the last couple of years. And whatever idea or plan we come up with, none of it seems to come to fruition when it really matters. They just their ineptitude at scoring runs is shocking to me. I don't know. All right, we will take a quick break. 312-332-ESPN. That is the number. Chuck Garfine. More on the Sox coming up in just about 15 minutes. We'll take some baseball calls coming up.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Yurko's working on his 13-team stinger. He went 10-3. Unfortunately, got to hit all 13. That's why those are hard bets. But
that's
you
the way
did,
it works.
You picked a lot of good ones
but
last
you,
week.
But you bet very little to win a lot, which is always kind of fun also. Yeah, the guys that end up having about $2,600 of action going in the morning games. Well, I got action all day for $10-$20.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference for me.
Yurko will give you all those teams.
Boom. I got a story to tell forever. These guys are hitting half their games, and they're miserable. Not the good kid. Never miserable.
Take some White Sox calls here. Also, if you want to jump in on the Cubs, I mean, Cub fans are right. They've been telling me for a while, just stop talking about the offense. There is no fixing it. You say, what's wrong? I don't. Nobody knows. I mean, Hoodie had some great stats earlier this morning, too, if you were listening early to Cap and Jay Hood. How much they've struggled to hit fastballs in the zone this year and where they rank in the big leagues. Even their walk rate, I think, is not as good as it normally is. You'd expect the Cubs to be somewhere in the top third. I think they're 19th or 20th out of the 30 team in the bigs. They strike out a lot. I mean, guys are having, Baez, Bryant hasn't even played much. Even Rizzo not having a typical Rizzo year. None of them have really been able to hit. It's just surprising with what appears to be a very talented team on paper. It's just very surprising. John's in Morton Grove on ESPN 1000. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. A little frustrated, like you said.
Yeah.
Not only with the decision to bring in Rodon last night, but the night before when he brings in Gio, the first thing Stoney says on the telecast is, Luplo or whatever the guy's name was, kills lefties.
Yeah, I know.
And he brings in a soft toss and lefty.
I know.
Who also hadn't pitched in a while.
Yeah.
His lineups are goofy. I don't know why Mazar is even playing. I actually called the main number and left a message the other day. It's very frustrating.
The OPS splits for Luplo from a couple nights ago, John, what you're talking about and what Stoney was referring to are pretty dramatic, so you're right about that. Much better against lefties than he is against righties. John, thanks. I know this was a frustrating week for White Sox fans.
Hey, give Mazar credit. He had a big hit last night.
He did. And he almost, threw the guy out at the plate, too.
Right, right.
Rocco's on the northwest side. What's up, Rocco?
Hey, how you doing, man? It's depressing, too. Actually, both sides of town, too. Because, the Cubs, they ain't hitting. I wonder what the over-and-under is going to be today. 1.5?
Very good.
unless Ricky uses his four morons in the bullpen that he's been using. And why was Ruiz even warming up yesterday? Here's my thing. We got seven pitchers, bullpen pitchers, who are better than any of those four guys he's used in the last 2 days. You got three lefties. You got Crochet. You got Bummer. You got... Chase Fry. And Colomay doesn't use your stopper. He doesn't get used. I know Marshall disabled this, but Foster and Cody Hoyer, who I think will be the future.
Hoyer's good.
The future. It's ridiculous.
Hoyer's good. I know. Rocco, thank you. Yeah, and the back spasms that Colomay's been dealing with a little bit here this week. I mean, Jimmy Cordero's arm's going to fall off. They're using him like Madden used to use C-Sheck. I mean, that thing's going to be...
And C-Sheck is no... No longer with the team, right? They released
C-Sheck. He gone.
Yeah.
Matt, well, you knew that was coming. I mean, Madden completely, you know. I mean, the poor guy the last couple of years. Got to blame Joe Madden. We still have to blame Joe Madden for something. See, it wasn't all Joe Madden's fault. I'll tell you that.
No. Yeah, they brought a lot of young talent there. It hit.
They still can't score.
But they're dependent upon some veteran guys to make key plays over the course. You know, Zobrist was a key player on that team.
Yeah, he was. Dennis is in Downers. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys. You know, Yerk might know this from playing. I think some players, it's not their fault, but they're just injury prone. And I don't know, Brian strikes me as a little soft. He's always getting these injuries, and that beaning he took, by the way, that was one of the worst beaning I've ever seen. So I don't know. I'm
Colorado.
Just making those points.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Sox, you know, they're going to be really good. I think management might hire us more of a solid manager because I think they're going to think that's just what they need. Thank you, Dennis.
I'll say this. If a guy's injured, he can't play.
Yeah, I know. There's
a difference between injury and pain. Every once in a while, you got to be able to work through pain, but you can't work through injury. That's just the way it is. You've got a pulled muscle. There ain't no gray area.
Good luck swinging with
You've got a pulled oblique
muscle, right, Yerk?
Yeah, I had a hip pointer one time. Oof. There are no gray area. They shut me down for 10 days, and then they put some cortisone in when it finally minimized and gave us a real concentrated area that we can go in and we can shoot it up. And that was about day six. Four days later, I could play.
What happens when you get a hip pointer? What is that?
So your iliac crest, which is the top. Right?
On your bone, on your hip?
On your bone, on your hip. The top is called the iliac crest.
Yeah.
What happens is you get smashed. A hard helmet goes smashing into your iliac crest, and it damages the tissue that ends up in between there. In essence, it gets pressed down on top of a rounded area, but still an area that's hard. So you got two hard areas hitting soft tissue.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you've got what they call the hip pointer. Huh. You got that point of the hip that's been traumatized.
And it's
inflamed, and it's damaged, and it's torn, and now you got to get some time to go ahead and let that thing subside.
Does that affect the nerve, too, down the leg?
No.
No?
No.
But it's got to hurt the hell.
No, sciatic nerve is in your lower back and runs through your keister.
All right, we will talk to Chuck Garfine. More on the White Sox and some of Ricky's very questionable decision-making this week in Cleveland. Chuck Garfine will join us, and then we're off to Vegas at 11:30 to talk to Todd Furman and Mike North's bonus play at 11:45. So we got a busy 11 o'clock hour. Back in 2 minutes.